Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. We thought today we'd talk a bit about yoga outside, and maybe how we feel about it, what are some benefits. I don't know, Monica, anything else you want to add to this?
Yes, benefits, a list of pros and a list of cons. Maybe I have that. I've been thinking about several things that surprisingly bother me about practicing yoga outside. Although, you know, at first sight, you'd think that there's nothing but pluses, right, about it. But I don't think it's only pluses. I don't think it's only pros. But we can kick this off by discussing the one of the favorites, maybe top three or top five topics of English small talk, which is the weather. Because now I have to moan. I really have to complain about what you're going through here in Romania. And this fact is that we have twice the temperature in degrees Celsius that you have there in London. And it's fascinating because maybe it's not very unusual for you guys in London, but it's quite unusual for us in Bucharest. I don't remember having seen such a hot, scorching summer since ever, honestly. Maybe I was too little to remember when I experienced it, if I ever did. But now it's been, you know, it ranges for, I think, close to 2 months now, or maybe 1.5 months. It's been 38, 39 degrees Celsius, absolutely daily. At night, it gets to 25, 26 in the middle of the night, tops. So you can't even leave your windows open for a small gust of wind to come in and purify the inside atmosphere. There are thunderstorms, but they last 10 minutes. And then, you know, after the heaviest rainfall ever, you just see the air oozing out of the hot, hot pavement. So, yeah, it's quite terrible. And of course, we're getting really sick because of the continuous air conditioning that we have to use. I'm lucky in a sense because I have it at home. I have it in the office, right? But not everyone has it. So also in the car, it's not that pleasant. But anyway, moving back to our topic of interest, my point is that these temperatures are definitely not ones for yoga outside. So if you decide to do it during the peak summer heat, maybe do it really, really early or very late at night when the heat has settled. Right, it has subsided. So that's one thing about the temperatures. But of course, my list of pros and cons is super long. And now I have to ask you, Alex, the last time we spoke about yoga outside was when you scheduled a class, when you subscribed, you registered for a class, and you ended up not going because you forgot, or am I wrong? Something?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. But I was gonna say, in London, yeah, we have like maybe 20 degrees right now, and whilst I'd say it's not far off from you know, UK summer, so to speak, British summertime, it is a bit off. I would say it's you would expect it to just be a bit better because we've had so many not storms, but we've had so much rain lately. And so little sun that, you know, it's a bit much even for UK. And I think it's going to get better now. So that's nice. So today is already better.
So it'll get warmer?
Yeah. It will get a bit of that. So I think the forecast is like 27, 28 maybe.
Oh, okay.
The next few days.
Yeah. But anyway, the real feel is important, right? Because of course the real feel here is
100.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, I have this video that goes from the AC, the temperature of my AC, the AC in my car is showing up to the temperature that is outside. This Friday, I left it out in the sun for 1.5 hours, I think. And it's literally half. So I could see 50 degrees in my, you know, in my dashboard. And 25, the AC was set on 25 degrees. So it was literally double. I had never seen 50 degrees in my car. You know, my car showing 50 degrees ever. So it's quite overwhelming for us. And
yeah,
we always complain about it. So.
I can imagine, yeah. That's quite...
That's not yoga time, right?
No, it's a high temperature. I was going to say, you know, for London right now, I think you could do maybe yoga even during the day. It depends how adapted you are to the sun, so to speak. But outside of that, it's not pretty, pretty hot. And yeah, I did book a class. It was yoga on the grass next to the pool. So...
Oh, that's beautiful.
That would have been a very good class, I feel. But one that I totally forgot about and remembered, I think, like the same day, but maybe 5 hours later. So,
it happens.
That didn't work out.
I also do that. Yeah, it happens. And for me, it's relatable, especially now because, you know, it's quite a busy summer for me and tasks and running errands is getting pretty overwhelming. This Monday morning, I registered for, I didn't register this Monday morning, but previously, but anyway, I ended up in a different Pilates studio than I normally go to because there are two locations that are very of the same chain, right? That are very close to my home. And in my mind, I had made this mental note where I knew the Monday morning location was the one that was very close. But the thing is that there are two that are very close, and the class I had registered for this Monday morning was in the other side. So yeah, and the guy was like staring at me. You do this all the time. You end up in different locations all the time. Why can't you look where you're subscribed? Yeah, so that was fun. But he ended up, welcoming me to the class eventually. So I took the class there where I had ended up. But yeah, I mean, it's I can totally relate. So anyway, so yeah, so you could do it, right? If you were, if you're in London, you could do it because now it's bearable. No, it's...
I think right now, and when I booked it, which was sometime in June, was pretty good as well. I think there was we had a few days of semi-summer then, so that was fine.
Perfect.
I think it obviously depends, as I said, how adapted you are to warm weather. I'd say on average, maybe, you know, people that, I don't know, are born in the UK, maybe not even in London, but further up north, they might find 28 a bit of a struggle. I don't, but that might be the case. So I think that's always something to bear in mind, of course, depending on how adapted you are to different temperatures. But yeah, I would say in general for right now, I think it would be pretty nice to do yoga outside. And I'll have to say that the class that I booked in June and I forgot about, it's not, it's not a class I can take right now. So they don't do it anymore right now. So unfortunately, I kind of missed that completely. But, you know, you don't need, I mean, you can just take your mat if, you know, honestly, you can just take your mat, go to the park and do yoga. You know, you don't need, yeah, you could go to a class, of course. But if you have, you know, any yoga experience, you could do that. Or even if not, right, everybody has a phone these days, so you could just follow, you know, maybe yoga class online
and just be outside, mm-hmm. No? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's generally a good idea. But yeah, if you're in a hot area, it should happen very early in the morning or during, you know, after sunset maybe. What I find very challenging when I teach or practice yoga outside is the constant distraction that I manage poorly. It's some of us would say that amidst the chaos, that's where the true yogi shows up. No, that's where you use the benefits that yoga has given you, and those are the times when you reap the fruits of your yoga practice. Because the more, you know, the noisier the environment, the quieter you need to get, the more you need to settle your mind. And you should be able to do that. I generally am not. So that's why I always find yoga practiced outside to be very full of distractions in the shape of sounds, sights that catch your eye, smells. It really depends on the spot, but the place itself might be exposed to people walking, interrupting, staring at you, asking, oh, what are you doing? What is this? Has the class started yet? Or what is this? Or, you know, or even mere passersby that stop and stare. And that's probably not nice if you're self-conscious, or if you feel too much, if you feel too exposed yourself as a practitioner or whatever. So yeah, there might be people ogling participants, you know. And I'm thinking, you mentioned outside by the pool. Does this mean it was on the grass, right? It wasn't on a hard surface by the pool.
Yeah, it was on the grass. They have, so I've been to that swimming pool many times because you can just go and, you know, book a swimming like lane and just do that. So I've been doing that there. And yeah, they have an area where there's like just the grass, and, you know, you could do different, let's say, active things there. And sometimes they do classes and so on and so forth. And then in the pool, there would probably be people swimming, and so it would still be open. The pool would be open.
Okay.
So it would be, this, yeah.
You would be close to swimmers then.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be. But what you were saying, I guess, you know, I would say in this instance, for instance, or just in general, when there's an organized, let's say, class outside, I would say the being conscious that people look at you is probably, or at least in my opinion, not as I don't know, not as challenging as it is if you're by yourself, right? Because you're with a class, you know how it is, other people are doing it, whatever, right? So you have that sense of,
yes,
you know, just community or whatever. And then in terms of, you know, sounds, I guess, if it's an organized class, then you just pay attention to the teacher, right? So I would say from my side. But if it's not, what I do is I always have headphones, which, whether or not you want to, you know, yoga, maybe you want to do in silence, but I don't. So to be fair, either it's an online class, so then I hear the, you know, the
cues.
Guidance there.
Yeah,
the cues there. The cues there, or it's
music.
I'll just do, you know, I'll do it's, you know, whatever music I feel like works. Sometimes it's like actual, really, let's say, you know, a lot of rhythm there, and sometimes it can be just like maybe just like not jazz, but like piano or something like more, you know, not distracting, just like soothing overall. Yeah, but I would do that so that wouldn't distract me. And then I guess, I guess you want to be in a place, let's say, where it's not super busy. So you don't want to be, or maybe, you know, it depends on the person. But in general, I would imagine maybe you're not that comfortable. So you want to find a place that is not completely, like, it's not packed with people, let's say.
Yeah,
and I think you can do that
secluded.
In parks, right?
Yeah. More secluded or remote. I mean, not remote, but maybe isolated, how to put it?
Yeah, and I think you can do that in parks and stuff, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, of course. You can do it. I mean, there are no, you know, public restrictions in that sense, because it's not a huge event with hundreds of people. You're not, showcasing movies or music to breach any intellectual property rights or whatever, unless you are, because it's a huge event. So yeah, but I taught yoga outside several times, maybe 4 or 5 times this summer. It was quite pleasant. One of the times was actually celebrating International Day of Yoga. It was the Saturday after that Friday, where we celebrated International Day of Yoga, and there were several classes. Mine started at 11:50. It was terribly hot. They put out they opened these umbrellas, you know, so the participants had enough shadow, enough water and sunscreen, but maybe, of course, not. They didn't have any chilly atmosphere. It was not possible. It was middle of the summer in Bucharest, so yeah. And several of them were on stage, which was also covered. So that was good, but I was in full heat with my white baseball cap on and my sunglasses and my mic all geared up in full sun. So yeah, but the paradox is it was quite a pleasant class. I was happy. I'm always happy when I see people, you know, really being there and really, really joining the cues and trying to do, you know, to be in the moment. So it was the case then. So it was a beautiful class in spite of the heat. So probably that's proof enough that we can stand and be true yogis in face of adversity and distractions.
I was going to say before we move on, what do you like prefer, or maybe you're going to say anyway, but like between you taking the class, taking a class outside or by yourself, so like maybe 3 options, and then you teaching that class outside. Do you have like a preference, or it doesn't matter?
If it has to be outside, I prefer teaching. Okay. It would not be my initiative to truly practice outside. If it's something organized, if I'm in a retreat, or if I'm away on a holiday, in vacation, and there's something that's organized by the hotel or whatever, then of course I would go. I would not miss it. But I also participated at the class. Okay, this is one story I have to tell. It was a Monday evening. It was at the beginning of the summer, I think, or it was an evening that wasn't extremely hot. It was in a regular place that I teach at, but it was outside of it, so it was on the lawn outside, and it was a different teacher, and I wanted to simply, you know, let myself be guided. I also had not ever participated at that fellow teacher's class at all by that point, so you know, I went and let myself embrace everything. But it was terribly windy. It was so windy. Oh my God, we could barely hold on to our mats with our feet. So, you know, our feet were on the mats and the mat was going like. So it was, yeah, it was super weird. But it was nice because everything looked so fine. You had, baby trees and fir trees. So it was a beautiful setting. The grass was very green. There were graffiti on the surrounding walls nearby. And the class was okay. But yeah, I guess I could not get over the fact that the wind was bothering everyone. And it didn't stop for the entire length of the class. So that was, I couldn't focus on the practice itself or, you know, on my inner being, because I had to fight the winds to not move my mat or my belongings or myself from off of the mat. So, it's nature, right? You can't, you have to embrace it. You can't fight it. You have to let yourself get to know it and just be in it, be in the moment. Since you're there, you might as well, you know, be there and take advantage of your of your moment. So yeah, that's my story. But yeah, to wrap up and answer your question, I'd rather teach than practice outside. For me personally, I sometimes do quite a few balance poses, and these might be very challenging. They are very challenging, especially for beginners, or for, I don't know, people who can't focus a lot or have, you know, not an ideal core strength capability. So if you practice yoga on an uneven surface, if there are little holes in the ground, or if the surface of the earth of the ground is simply, you know, if there are stones, if the grass grows harder, thicker, softer, different in size, you can feel all of this under your feet, right? And for me as a practitioner, this bothers me quite a lot. I need a flat surface that's hard where I can practice. Also, for some very specific types of yoga, it is a requirement for sure. For others, not so much. If you do, you know, if you do a yoga nidra session, the yogic sleep, right? Or if you do a yin yoga session, then surface is not that important, because you would be, you know, it would not be a hindrance to your practice. But for other types of yoga, yeah, it's a must for it to be flat and hard. So that's one of the things that bothers me a lot when I practice yoga outside. So we should be trying to find something that's in the shade, that's, you know, protected from noises and passersby, sights, sounds, smells, and that has an even surface. Sometimes it might even be, you know, on the pavement of a, I don't know, a courtyard, a yard, a backyard, by a pool, as you say, and not necessarily on the ground or in the grass, then it would be a better experience. Maybe. Yeah, it depends on a lot of factors. So that's my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. As I said, I feel like, well, I guess I'll caveat this. I feel like I'm not as distracted outside, but I also don't practice as much outside. So, you know, or I used to maybe practice more outside in the past. Like I would just practice in the garden, which fair enough, it was, my garden. So there were no passersby.
It was beautiful and it was quiet, right?
Yeah, and
that's perfect.
I haven't done that in a while, to be fair. So, but I feel like just in general, if you can, so I practice a lot, for instance, on the beach. So if I go on holiday, I usually go, I tend to go somewhere where you have, the sea, because I really like, water and seas and so on. And, I would practice on the beach, and on the beach, actually, there's no flat surface, right? It's super like wavy, the sand, whatever, it depends on the beach, but in general, it's not. So it's way more challenging, to your point, to even do a balance pose to begin with. Yeah. But it's very, I find very, very nice, so to speak. It really, I find it really connects me with nature. Honestly, you know, you're there's the sea, there's, and depending on where you are, you know, I tend to find, let's say, spots that are not super busy, that are fine, that I don't, you know, even if there's people around, they're not super close or they don't care usually, nor do I. And I would say the other thing, which I sometimes do and I find nice, although you kind of have to be careful a bit, is not using a mat and actually being barefoot on the grass or, you know, on the sand or whatever the surface is. And yeah, again, you have to be a bit careful there. It's like, obviously, to not, you know, get some glass in your feet or whatever from the ground. But outside that, you know, we hear this all the time. Hey, connect with nature, walk barefoot, feel the ground underneath your feet. Something we don't do anymore as a, you know, just because we're living in cities, most of us, and we all have shoes. So, so I find that's really, actually really grounds you and connects you more. So I sometimes do that. And that obviously means, you know, no mat, uneven maybe. And then, yeah, maybe you don't practice necessarily the same poses that you would on a very flat surface, but you get different benefits. So, from my perspective, I would recommend trying, like, if you go on holiday, try the beach, or try, if you go to the mountain, try, a meadow or something there. I don't know. And I think that's a, nice, unique experience, and you won't get that in a studio or in your home, or even, like in a city where you practice like an organized class, I'd say.
Yeah, just the other day, a participant in my class fell. Well, she didn't get injured or anything, but she lost her balance in a balance pose. And I was trying to say, well, first of all, there are several things that are, preventing you from keeping your balance, and one of them is your socks, because you're slipping. And she was like, "But I was not told. You didn't tell me." I'm like, can't possibly tell people every time, beginners every time to remove their socks, or that yoga is practiced barefoot. But I looked around in that class, and there were, several tens of people in the class, and no one had socks on except for her. So, and interestingly so, she had been, eyeing all of the others, just to make sure she gets the pose right, And she could have noticed the fact that they were barefoot, but yeah, she didn't remove her socks, not even after the conversation that was about socks. Anyway, so I'm just saying this because you were mentioning being barefoot. Guys, being barefoot is so awesome, especially if you have, if it's not very nice for you to wear shoes, or if you have to wear high heel shoes all the time due to various reasons. Just practice being barefoot as long as you can, as much as you can, everywhere you can. I have been working for home from home for quite a few years, and now I literally have trouble adjusting to to going to the office more than before, because I have to wear shoes, and this is one of the this is one of the cons of going to the office. Also, when I teach yoga, of course I get out of the house, and I need to wear shoes, but I go to normally I just go to teach yoga or to practice Pilates elsewhere, and these two activities require being barefoot as well, so I don't wear shoes there either. So it has been interesting, but yeah, I'm getting adjusted to everything. For us city dwellers, it's such a mess, because nature is nowhere. I mean, even now, circling back to how we opened this conversation, the scorching heat, this terrible, terrible heat that we have in Bucharest. I'm lucky to be living in the middle of a very small park, I would say, although it's too big of a word to call it park. There are several trees, but there's a noticeable difference in feel and temperature and atmosphere than if you go on the street where are no trees, absolutely not. So yeah, no green stuff, no plants. Obviously the heat gets worse, so that's what I'm trying to say. Be in nature as much as you can, practice yoga or whatnot, but yeah, and be barefoot, of course. Nature for me is recharging. It's truly recharging. I feel soothed and at ease, and I simply am more peaceful whenever I'm in nature, regardless of the type of nature I'm in. And yeah, just like yourself, I really love the sea. I'm a sea girl, a water girl myself, in all shapes of forms or forms. I hate the sand, and I don't. I'm not very comfortable practicing yoga on the beach. But what I like to do on the beach is practice breathing techniques, pranayama. So I just sit in the easy pose in Sukhasana and practice some pranayama techniques. The quality of the air there is really, really good for my sinuses, for everyone's sinuses and health, honestly. So if you feel like doing that, just do it. It's perfect. The sea air is, it's amazing for us. Again, the deeper we're buried in the cities, the better it will feel for us when we are in nature, on the top of the mountain, or at the seaside, or yeah, on a beach somewhere. It's truly recharging and recovering. It's a recharging and a recovery technique. It's beautiful. So if we associate it with yoga, then even better, I would say.
Yeah, I think from my side, I would just recommend, you know, just try it. Like if you've never done yoga outside or never done yoga, that might be a bit of a challenge. But, you know, just try, maybe just start with going outside more. Maybe try be barefoot for a second or two,
yeah,
and then evolve to maybe trying to, yeah, maybe doing breathing techniques outside for, you know, the first time, so to speak. And then as you evolve, just try and yeah, like do some yoga, so to speak, you know, maybe organized or not organized, however it is, whatever you feel comfortable with. And do that for a few times, because I feel like I feel like that would be something everybody could benefit from. Of course, depending on the environment, what you enjoy, so on and so forth. But in general, I don't think you could do that and be like regret it. Let's just put it that way. I would be surprised. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's good to connect with nature and you know, really enjoy the fresh air, and yeah, keep grounded. So whenever you can practice yoga outside, don't refrain from it, just do it.
Yeah, as I said, just try. I think you will figure out the benefits for yourself. And you probably, I would imagine, would become a regular practice after
habit.
That.
Yeah. Ideally.
Yeah. I think that's it for us today, right? It's a shorter one. But yeah, as we said, just give it a try, guys, and maybe let us know how you find it, or if you do it already, like what are the benefits you see or saw after you started, you know, practicing yoga outside. And
or preferred areas of practice outside.
Yeah, maybe tips and tricks for other people that are maybe uncomfortable to do it. All right. That's it. So thank you guys who made it this far. And yeah, we'll see you next time with a new topic. Stay tuned.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.